Our Attorney General's opinion on the question of a replacement Lieutenant Governor centered around and excuse me, and focused on the question of succession to governor, the question of whether someone who was put into to a new position could succeed to the governor. That is the fundamental constitutional question. Remember, we cited the provision that said the succession will be from the governor to the lieutenant governor, the president of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House. That it was not possible for a governor to or anyone to assert anybody else into that succession order. And as I say, that was the fundamental question in our opinion. And the one that drove much, if not much, not all of, but much of the analysis. You know, I'm pleased that Governor Kim Reynolds has taken action today that would not alter the secession provision. That is the fundamental question. That is the constitutional question. And she has complied with our opinion fully in that regard. Now, she did appoint an acting lieutenant governor. You know, first of all, in looking at that, she could designate anybody she wanted to do the duties that she's described for the acting lieutenant governor to act on her behalf. A governor has great authority to have people play roles on her behalf. You know, indeed, has to delegate a great deal anyway to function as governor. There are so many responsibilities. So for Adam Gregg to have this set of responsibilities on her behalf in terms of a delegation would be consistent with practice. The one question that remains is the title, acting lieutenant governor. It's a new position. It's not a constitutional provision or position. It's one that is not part of the constitutional framework. And we'll do a little thought, excuse me, a little more thought and research on the question of the position and the description of it. But I, you know, hasten to emphasize that the key fundamental question here is who succeeds to be governor. And she's complied fully with our opinion, and we believe the provision in the Constitution that deals with that. With that, I'd be glad to answer any questions.
She said that they had three different things that they could go over to deciding this. Do you think she made the right choice in going to office?
I'm sorry.
She said that she had three different levels of choices that she had going into this, whether to appoint a lieutenant governor, to go with the acting lieutenant governor. Do you think she made the right decision with how she chose to go about this?
Well, she made the right decision in the most important aspect, that she did not attempt to choose a lieutenant governor that could succeed to be governor. That's the core of the Constitution. That's the core of our opinion, and she complied with that.
So do you think that the action that she's taken today has ruled out any valid legal challenge to this appointment?
Well, you know, I wouldn't go that far or make that broad a statement. You know, I said, you know, we will take a little, we'll take a look at this new concept that wasn't considered before, but it changes it dramatically. It changes it because of the question of constitutional succession. That is the fundamental question concerning the Constitution. That would be the fundamental question in a lawsuit of that type.
Do you think they need to amend the Constitution after this to put that in there specifically saying that in any future?
I think there should be a constitutional amendment that gives the governor who became governor by being lieutenant governor the option to appoint a replacement lieutenant governor. I've said that before. On the policy level, I think that there's a lot to be said for the continuity of the same people and their philosophy and their party. Because of death or resignation, the party of the governor should not change. So I have supported it as a constitutional amendment, and that's, you know, that goes back to my main point today. My job is to respect, have enormous respect for our Constitution. And that's what drove our opinion. That's what drove her decision today. You know, when you want to change the Constitution, you do a constitutional amendment. That's the process. And I think there's been some talk of doing a constitutional amendment, which I would support.
They said Jeff Whitaker will sponsor legislation along those lines.
Well, you can tell him that I count me as a supporter.
Can the person who's serving as this acting lieutenant governor take the salary that lieutenant governor was getting and then move to governor? How does that work? Do they have to find a different way to pay him in that position, or can he take that lieutenant governor's salary?
You know, I think if there's some money in the budget that probably could be paid for his salary, but we can take a look at that. But there are a lot of ways in state government that the state can pay people for their work.
Were you surprised,
Mr. Attorney General?
Yes.
Isn't the 1988 revision to the line of succession pretty clear that if a lieutenant governor is not available or able to take over the governor's post, if for some reason that's necessary, that the position would actually go to the president of the Iowa State Senate?
That's right. That's right. And that will continue. That will continue to be the case. Adam Gregg will not be in the line of succession. The Senate president will be in the line of succession, unless until his constitutional amendment is passed, and then there could be an appointment.
Did the governor's office communicate with your office as they were drafting this plan, and when did you get the final heads up that this was their path?
They they called us at 9:30 this morning. The Ryan Koopmans, whom we know and have worked with in a number of different capacities, called Jeff Thompson, and they had a good conversation. He outlined what they were doing and why they were doing it, and emphasized that the secession issue.
But they didn't have any previous communication.
Not previous communication, but they did have. We had a good call at 9:30.
Does this action by the governor's office change anything in terms of precedent or tradition, and change the way that this office is perceived in a meaningful way, do you think?
You know, I don't think this changes a lot of. You mean the lieutenant governor's office?
Yeah.
I don't think it changes it in any dramatic way. The core duty and role of the lieutenant governor under the Constitution is to succeed to be governor. And it doesn't change that. It doesn't alter that. And as I said, the governor could designate this person to do these responsibilities with a different title. And she could say that this person is going to be my nominee for lieutenant governor and is going to play this role in the interim. So I don't think there's any dramatic change in what's being done. Well, I think that, you know, his title is designated as acting lieutenant governor, but you know what people call someone else, that's sort of an individual call, you know, but his title is acting lieutenant governor, which is, I think, a recognition that he's not in the line of succession.
But the staff insists on calling him lieutenant governor. Do you find that confusing or misleading?
No, not necessarily.
When you research the background in this, any rhyme or reason why? I mean, it seems like looking at it now that it should have been put the succession line in there, the way, you know, governor to lieutenant governor. Any reason why that was not done when the change was made, or anything you can shed light on that?
Ask that a little more.
When you look back at when the change was made.
Oh, in 1988?
Yeah, and it seems like, you know, okay, well, we've got to line everything up, governor, lieutenant governor. Any reason why that language came out the way it did, or do you know why it was worded that way so it didn't, in your opinion, come out?
Yeah.
Lieutenant governor automatically succeeds governor.
No, I think that, you know, in 88 they were comfortable with the language, the previous language, which was a little bit surprising and unusual, devolved, but it was used for a long time. And the idea that the responsibilities devolved to the lieutenant governor, and then the lieutenant governor becomes governor, was something that had people had dealt with. And also we think it was significant in 88 that when they did a constitutional amendment, they didn't provide for a replacement lieutenant governor. I mean, they could have done that in the Constitution then. They did not. We think that's significant.
What do you say to the ongoing assertion that Governor Reynolds does have the power to appoint a full lieutenant governor, and that the Attorney General's office was ultimately incorrect in their assertion? Is that division a problem?
It's not a problem in the fundamental question, where the lieutenant, the new governor, has agreed with our opinion that the acting lieutenant governor does not go in the order of succession. So I think that the fundamental question has been resolved and been agreed to, that the Constitution does not allow this acting lieutenant governor to become governor as a matter of succession.
Now that she's met that, is everything else just policy, or is there more constitutional things that could pop up?
Well, I think the constitutional question has been addressed and has been addressed in the right way. That you know, my take is that that we've had a bit of a controversy here, but going back and forth. And there's a winner on this, and the winner is the Constitution. The Constitution has prevailed, as it should.
So is everything else policy then?
Policy and statutes and regulation and delegation power.
Jeff Kaufman just put out a statement saying that your opinion was a ridiculous partisan political stunt. How do you respond to that?
Jeff Kaufman is totally wrong. He couldn't be farther from the truth. I approach this opinion like I did any other opinion to try and get it right on the law. Struggled with it, worked on it, changed my mind based on what I think was adequate reason. Indeed, I was the one in the office that was on the other side of this opinion for quite a while. It was me, the elected official, that needed to be convinced that the law is as we stated it, as Governor Reynolds has, you know, abided by it in the fundamental aspect. And just to, you know, to restate briefly why I think the weight of the law is on our side is this, that the constitutional provision on succession is very clear. It's the governor, lieutenant governor, president of the Senate, and speaker of the House. There's no provision in the Constitution for a replacement lieutenant governor. Secondly, the case law in other states is overwhelmingly on the side of our side. And states do tend to recognize case decisions from other states, particularly when it's overwhelming. And also the custom of the states and the federal government has been overwhelmingly that you don't have a replacement lieutenant governor or a replacement vice president without going to the Constitution. So followed the Constitution, followed the law. The weight of the law, I think, is clearly on our side. We've gotten some good affirmations recently. Mark McCormick, who's was the intellectual anchor of the Supreme Court for a while, stopped in Jeff Thompson's office next door and said, "I read your 23-page opinion," and gave a thumbs up. Nick Johnson, who's a law professor at Iowa, emailed us and said, "I was going to write on this issue on my blog." He has a pretty active blog. And he said, I read the opinion beforehand, all 23 pages, and there's nothing more for me to write. That's got it exactly right. So I think that the weight of the law, I'm convinced now even more so, is more heavily on our side, and it's been followed by the governor on the fundamental question, and as I mentioned. Okay. Any other questions? Well, thanks very much.